What's up, CareerCast Nation? I hope this is a good intro because Chris is making me do it for the third time. Today we're talking about myths.
Hey, wait a minute. I did the first one and you did the second two. So this is only the second time you're redoing it.
Okay, fine. This is the third time we've done it total.
But anyways, yeah, we're going to be talking about freelancer and small business myths. I'm excited to talk about this. I think it's going to be important for people who are new to freelancing, who have been freelancing for a while. And then if you're considering becoming a freelancer,
yes,
or even if you work at like an agency, because a lot of your clients are going to be small business owners. So
a lot of B2B interaction.
Yeah. So these people that you're talking to have dealt with this, and kind of understanding their mindset can help with that interaction.
Yes.
So the first one that we're going to start off with is that customers and clients only care about low prices.
What's your opinion on this?
So I think that this would probably be like mostly false.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a customer or client who is only price shopping.
Yes, true.
But I think for most people, if you take friction out of the system, then they're going to be... So, okay. Let me go to an analogy. Or not, like Amazon. Amazon isn't always necessarily the cheapest.
Yeah.
But because they've got Prime shipping... And it's super simple to check out. You know, you've got your card saved and everything.
You're going
to
do it.
Yeah.
You're
more likely, and they have to. Everything. You're just going to go to Amazon.
Yeah.
Same thing for working with a freelancer or a client. If you are making it easier on your client, then they're more likely to work with you, I think.
Yeah.
Versus just going for the cheapest. And small businesses, a lot of them are generally, I mean, their whole goal is to make more money.
Yeah.
And they understand that they might have to spend more to get that better product.
Yeah.
Well, but they're willing to do it to get, you know,
yeah,
to get better results.
It all comes down to the quote, you have to spend money to make money. And I mean, it's true. The people who aren't willing to spend money are looking for, I don't know. I would say they're looking for, I guess there's what I'm trying to get at is like the people who are just price shopping are just looking for a good deal.
Yeah.
They don't care about the content. They don't whatever. And that's what happens when you see a bunch of people, and especially in our industry today, you see a lot of people doing these cheaper and discounted rate shoots and stuff. And it brings everybody else around them down. Like if a guy's running around doing $50 photo shoots when, you know, I charge $150 for a photo shoot, like, that guy's going to take all my business because he's $100 cheaper. And I mean, and that's just an example, but like, you know, there's a lot of people who are just gunning for the people who don't want to spend much money. You know,
I feel like most of the people who are looking for low prices just do not actually care about the end product.
Yeah.
They're the same people who they're more likely to like waffle between whether they actually want to do it or not.
Yeah.
Versus people who are willing to spend that extra money understand what you're doing. They kind of understand like the
time, the effort, the everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And they understand the importance of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And they're willing to pay that little bit of extra to get it good.
Yeah. And yeah, there's like you said, there's plenty of people who will pay to, I mean, they understand. They're like, okay, we'll gladly pay your rate to get the things that we need for promotion, for website, whatever you need to get done. They realize that it's got to be done and done right, so they're gonna pay the proper money. Versus some, you know, dude who's like, I make websites in my free time,
right?
You know,
well, I also think it's on the freelancer,
yeah,
or whoever, the designer, photographer, whatever, to teach your client about what the prices should be.
Yeah,
I think a lot of times clients go into something and they just don't understand how much it costs.
Yeah.
But if you really like properly tell them what it's going to cost and explain the, I think I mentioned this in a past episode, actually.
Probably.
But if you explain, you know, everything that's going into it and what the cost is going to be and explaining why you're better than say those cheap people, they tend to understand that. A lot of the people who are price shopping probably more than likely were at one point did pay somebody more money and got screwed.
Yeah.
So they feel like, well, either way, they're going to get screwed, so they don't want to put a bunch of money into it.
Mm-hmm.
Or their business is not doing well, and they aren't, their on the decline and they don't want to spend money. They don't want to be burning through money.
Yeah.
And so at that point, again, it's also your, you know, your job as a freelancer to teach them. Here's how spending that extra money is going to help you and how you can help them, you know, improve it a little bit.
I do think there is a, there's a little market of helping those people too. Like, you know, if they have like speculation that you're charging too much and stuff, you can, I mean, there's always cutting deals and doing other stuff like that. But like you said, letting the client know why it's charging so much for certain work and so like that, most clients will understand, you know, I mean, hell, like a lot goes into everything that everybody does for graphic designers, website makers, photographers, videographers. It all takes work. You're all spending your time and money, and it's not like, you know, it's a service, and it's not like you go into McDonald's and you hand the guy $2 and he gives you a McDouble. I mean, it's not how that works.
Yeah.
For, I mean, you know, but yeah, that myth, I think I'll agree with you, is false.
Yep. And I think people who really understand the market probably would agree with that too. I don't think this is a,
I hope so.
I think once you start like really working with people, you start to realize that.
Yeah.
The next myth is that you need to be active on all social networks. I started with the last one, so you're up.
I would say that's also false. You don't need to be active on all social media. Now, depending on what you do, I think definitely helps. Like, for me, I'm on Facebook and Instagram probably the most, because I'm a photographer and a videographer. So those are two platforms where you can visually see my work. I've posted stuff to Twitter before and it gets nowhere. Like, I don't need to be on Twitter. There's photographers on Twitter. Yeah, sure. But I don't see a response on my Twitter at all versus what I would get for Instagram or Facebook or even YouTube. I mean, I still don't use YouTube a whole lot. I could probably use that more, yeah. But I don't think you need to be on all social media platforms.
Yeah, I think you really need to focus on the social network that will help you reach your goals.
Yeah.
There are businesses who aren't on any social networks, and it works. A lot of like government contractors, they're raking in the big bucks, but they're not going to be on social networks.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, you have to really understand your business and whether you should be on social networks or not.
Yeah,
any social media freelancer or agency who is telling you that no matter what your business is, you need to be on all the platforms is just wrong.
I'll agree.
That I 100% like feel very strongly about.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you need to corner your market of the social media game. Sorry. And I mean, for certain aspects of certain people, I mean, there's no point in being on some of them. Yeah. Like, you know,
unless you're willing to outsource it, you are better off spending your time on, like, if you're starting a small business, you should focus on one social network.
Yeah.
And focus on making that the best as the best you can.
I would say you can even go with two, but like,
well, you can be on multiple, but like really focusing. So like, you know, I would focus on YouTube or I would focus on my blog as like the one piece of content.
Sure.
And then, you know, I might post something about it to Instagram. Like this podcast is our big, you know, piece of content or whatever, but we still have the Instagram that pushes back to it.
Yeah.
But I don't put a lot of effort into the Instagram. I put more effort into actually like recording the podcast, obviously.
Yeah. And it all comes down to, I think when it comes to social media, putting your eggs in one basket does seem like the way to go, because like it also depends on what you do. If you're a small business and you're selling t-shirts, well, if you're selling like funny t-shirts that have like memes on them, maybe Facebook with Marketplace and maybe Twitter are kind of places to, people go for Twitter and Facebook for memes and to laugh and see. So like, that's perfect. You're probably not going to get anywhere on YouTube or, you know, stuff like that. Or like, you know, if you're a photographer, use Instagram, use it all the time. If, you know, there's so many different situations and it all depends on, you know, what you're doing. So that's what I think.
The next one Because I think we covered everything with that.
Yeah.
So number three is going to be freelancers get to do whatever they want whenever they want to do it.
You started
and
I'm this
so
one.
Excited about this yeah, one.
Me and Chris kind of got...
We started to talk about it before the podcast and I just like cut it off
because
I was
off.
Like...
Because I think our views are a little different on this. But yeah. But that's okay. Go on with what you
I mean,
think.
I think we'll agree once we kind of fully understand. But yeah. So you get to choose what you want to focus on per se, but you... Like a lot of the times my general schedule is I wake up at 8, start in my office at 9, usually 9:30 at the latest.
Yeah.
And then I work until 3 and then there's usually like a break and then I do something else at like 4
yeah.
until whenever. That you don't get to like take breaks whenever you want. You don't get to like during Christmas, I was able to have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off because I do stuff both those days. And, you know, some jobs obviously wouldn't, but I then ended up working Saturday and Sunday because there was still stuff that I really needed to get done for yeah. my business that I couldn't just wait until Monday to start on it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll get a call from a client at like 7 o'clock at night mm-hmm. and they're like, hey, the site just went down and you got to drop what you're doing and work on it.
Yeah. So the thing is here with me is I feel like. As a contractor or in a freelancer, you do get to do whatever you want when you want. And this is, hear me out on this. If you wanted to sleep until noon and have do all your business work from 12:30 to 7:30 p.m., you can. If you're working right and you do Monday through Friday, if I call you at 12 at noon, right? And say like I broke my leg and I need a ride to the hospital. You could probably you could drop what you have and do it.
Yeah.
Do you want to? Do you want to break that flow? Probably not. But you do have the option to do stuff like that. And you do have the option to do what you want when you want. But it comes down to a should you do this? What do you want to call that? Like a I don't know the term I'm looking for. And you should have the correct judgment of should I play video games until 2 p.m. then do all my work, or should I do all my work, get off of work, and then play the video games? Like you have the flexibility to do whatever you want when you want.
Yeah, you do get options in that way, but it's different from like a 9-to-5 job where. You know, like, okay, when I worked at Helix,
yeah,
sometimes the first like hour I'd sit on my, you know, sit on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like if I was waiting for our like weekly meeting that we did, mm-hmm. I'd sit on Facebook for a couple minutes while I waited for him to come over.
Yeah.
And you can do that as a freelancer, but most of the jobs that you're doing as a freelancer are like actually need to be done. So
well,
you have to do it whatever time it is. Like, As a 9-to-5 job, I feel like the value in 9-to-5 work is put on just the time that you're there.
Sure.
So even if you F off for 2 hours during the day,
yeah,
then you're still fine. You're going to get your paycheck just like usual.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
The boss might get on your, you know, get on your ass a little bit, but probably not very much.
Yeah.
Versus with a freelancer, you F off for 2 hours and, you know, don't work on this project. It's a project that actually needed to be done. So you kind of need to make up that 2 hours somewhere else.
But you can delegate where those 2 hours are. Considering if you're in a 9-to-5 and you fuck off for 2 hours,
yeah.
then you can be like, if you have an edit that needs to be done and you got to go run and do something or whatever, you can push those an hour back or move it to later that night and stuff like that. So, I mean,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Like you do get freedom within your schedule.
I think
but
it's very
not. You don't have as much free time as people make it out to be.
Sure.
And I think you actually end up spending more time than, say, a 9-to-5.
Sure.
But that also depends on what you're freelancing in.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of a tomato-tomato situation. Like, everybody kind of has their own definition
yeah.
of, like, stuff. Like, I know, like, when I edit a video, like... I'll do all of my editing, like say like I have a music video, I'll edit like a big chunk of it or like 85% of it say I'm editing for like 2 or 3 hours, like I take an hour off from there, like instantly, because for me, it helps me to like take an hour, go do something completely different from work, come back and like, you know, look at it from a different perspective. And then, cause like you get in like ruts and stuff when you work and all that. So, I mean, you know, I agree with you in the same fact too, that you can't do what you want. You can't do what you want whenever you want.
But there's still limits to it, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely limitations to it. So, but let us know what you think. I mean, we'll do it mid-roll this time in the middle of the podcast. You can leave us voice messages on Anchor, and you can let us know what you think about our situation and what you think. So we're kind of at a split, you know, crossroads where Chris has his way, I have my way.
I mean, I think we pretty much agree.
Yeah, but if there's something we left out, or, you know, let us know. We would like to hear from you. So the next point?
Anchor.fm/creatorcast to leave us a voice message. Or on our Instagram at CreatorCastPod.
Now back to your daily CreatorCast.
So the next one's going to be freelancers only freelance because they can't get a real job.
Oh, no. I have a problem with
that.
I have a big problem with that. I know, I bet you do, too.
Well, right, because I've got a story right off the bat with it.
Go for it.
Freelancing. So I was working at Helix.
Yeah.
And it was right before they, you know, laid me off.
Yeah.
And I had an interview set up with Atomic Dust downtown, and I decided at the very last minute to not go to the interview and to still like, I emailed them whenever they were trying to set the interview up, and I was just like, hey, I don't think this will fit for me right now because I'm freelancing and I want to focus on that.
Yeah.
I very well could have gotten a job. Whether at Atomic Dust or somewhere else, I could definitely get a job at an agency. I don't think there's a real concern about that.
Yeah.
And working with agencies in a freelancer position, you kind of go through interviews with every client and every, you know, person that you work with. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean,
that's kind of how I feel about that. Like, I could have had a real job, but I chose not to.
And the thing is if people say, if they say, oh, you can't get a job, that's why you're freelancing. I mean, anybody can get a job at McDonald's.
Well, yeah, but I mean, a job in your field, I think is what this is.
Okay, but still, a job in your field is hard to find-ish, but, you're telling me, not you specifically, like, whoever would be telling me that, I can't get a real job. So here's what I would say. I would say you're telling me you're turning down an opportunity to be your own boss, to set a schedule that works perfect for you. I mean, that's a good opportunity. And I mean, you know, you at the end of the day, you get to have everything that you make is because you did it. Like, you can't tell me there's not a satisfying feature of saying, yes, that's my work. That's my client. That's all my money. It doesn't get better than that. You don't have to pay. I mean, you have to pay taxes like everybody does.
Yeah. But I mean, taxes are the same either way.
You don't have to go to a place that you hate every day and work for someone that you don't like.
I mean, to be fair, if you have a good job, then you don't have to do that either.
Yes.
There are good things. But whenever you're a freelancer, you're, again, like I said, you're doing an interview for every client, every spot, every, you know, every agency that you work with or whatever, you know, there's a lot of those free, you know, people who would probably be willing to hire you on if you wanted it.
Oh yeah.
A lot of times, especially, you know, as you get more established.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think that right there, like, that's wrong.
Yeah. I think going back to a previous podcast, how far are we in this podcast? How deep are we?
20 minutes.
That's some boomer shit. That's all I have to say. I just wanted to know if I could cuss. I made the exact.
I mean, you could have cussed anywhere, but
yeah, that's some boomer shit.
We try to push it back.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, that's okay. That's some very boomer, like, oh, you couldn't get a job?
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of people doing freelance now too. It's getting very, very big.
It's true. That is true.
The next one is, it's not possible to make a good living by freelancing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I disagree with that. I would say that you do too.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I would say it's not impossible. It's harder to start out.
Yeah,
definitely. But I feel like most people who go into a freelancer situation, it's because you have a little bit of momentum behind your back already. Like you left your job where you were doing the stuff that you're doing, you know, like you don't instantly be like, I just ordered a camera online. Now I'm going to be a freelance photographer. I mean, you can, but like most people go into freelancing are confident enough to be like, I know I can do this to make money.
Most people, you know, with freelancing, they do it for, you know, they do it part time while they're working.
Uh-huh.
And then as that replaces their income, they leave the full time job.
Yeah.
So the other thing with freelancing is if you have any desire to do anything more than just a regular employee,
yeah,
you have so much upside. I know a lot of freelancers who make $100+ an hour. Mm-hmm. And as a developer or, you know, designer, that's just unheard of other than like Silicon Valley, there's no developers making $150 an hour as part of an agency or something.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of freelancers who are doing that.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that, you know, you can set up secondary income streams. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting into reselling hosting. That's going to be a monthly thing. I'll get money from that. So, you know, if you have, again, if you're willing to put any extra effort besides just like the bare minimum, I think you have a lot of upside. I think it's very easy to get sidetracked by the fact that you no longer have a boss.
Yeah.
I think most people just are not that motivated.
Sure.
Honestly. But if you're motivated and you can focus, then there's a ton of upside to freelancing.
Oh, yeah.
On like money wise.
Definitely.
The next one, pajamas are your new office attire.
Yeah. If
there's definitely days where I throw on sweatpants and that's it. I'm in a shirt, but
I mean, I would say that's true because I'd say it's 75% true. For you, you sit behind a computer all day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be like, oh, you and me, but like I have to go out in the field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where it's like, I have to look presentable depending on the kind of shoot I'm doing. And
yeah, if you're at a wedding, you got to look a lot nicer.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but yeah, I guess in office clothes, I'm putting air quotes. Like if you're in the office, dude, I'm going to wear my underwear only.
I think that kind of goes down to each person too.
Yeah.
If I'm just not feeling that good that day, then maybe I'll wear pajamas.
Yeah.
Or like sweatpants. But for the most part, I tend to wake up and put jeans on and like a t-shirt, which is what I wore anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess on that other side, though, if I was in a 9-to-5 job at an office, I'd have to be wearing like slacks.
Almost a three-piece.
Yeah. So there's that. I definitely get to choose what I wear at that point.
Yeah. So something that I've really, really come to enjoy is when you do a freelance, you don't have a uniform.
True.
And even with contracting work, even like with me doing weddings, I still have to look nice, but I get to pick.
Yeah.
Like I get to pick if I wear a burgundy collared shirt or like something nice, or as long as it's appropriate. But like, you know, like when you used to work fast food, how sucky did it have to feel that? Like,
oh, that sucks.
Shit.
So much.
I can't find my Subway shirt. Like,
even JCPenney was super simple. It was just wear all black. And that still was like, I had one pair of pants that I wore.
Yeah. Well, that you of all people know that that was not an issue for me. But yeah, when we were to JCPenney, I had all black clothes. So it was like wear all black. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
did you wear jeans or did you have to wear?
Bro, I wore jeans. I wore black jeans.
I don't think I was allowed to wear. I didn't think we were supposed to.
We weren't supposed to, but they never said anything to me.
Well, okay then.
So, I mean, I wore khaki sometimes,
yeah, even then,
too.
Like, oh, they never let me wear. It was all black.
Bro, side note, fucking squirrel. I opened the studio one day. I wore khaki shorts, and I know I was not supposed to. And I was on edge because I thought the manager was going to come in all day and bust me. Because I have a leg tattoo. Terrible.
Yeah.
And so I thought they were going to be like, no tattoos. And
well, yeah, you had to cover up all your tattoos.
So yeah, I got away with one.
There's definitely so much freedom with being a freelancer.
Uh-huh.
So much freedom. But I don't think anybody's wearing pajamas every single day. I feel like just like not like wearing such shitty clothes or like not getting prepared for the day every day would be so like mentally draining.
Nah, dude. I had a buddy in high
every
school.
Every single day?
Let's hear me out. I had a buddy in high school, and his dad works for Boeing. Still does. And the dude, nicest guy. He can look really presentable, but every time I would stay over at his house on a weekday or something, dude, boy was sitting on the couch with his laptop and some pajama pants and a wife beater.
Huh.
Like, and he was making more money sitting on his ass than like,
I don't doubt that. I just,
a year,
yeah,
you know, like, but like, there's people who do it and they work way higher. They're not even freelancing, you know, working from home.
No, I get that. I don't know. I think that'd be mentally draining.
I don't think so.
To just every day be putting on sweatpants and stuff.
Get up, wear whatever I'm wearing and go straight to the computer. I'm totally cool with that.
Oh, see, I'm very much like my mindset and my, like, everything has to kind of like line up for me to get my best work done, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah. So like when I wake up, I immediately shower first thing.
Oh.
Because that helps me like get into the mindset to do it. Like if I go to my computer, I tend to feel like lazier.
I'm a midday shower for the most part.
Oh, see, that's the other thing. Because if I like be like, oh, I need to go somewhere at 3 and then put it off. And then all of a sudden it's like 2:30. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I'm pretty scheduled about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to take a shower and go do that. But, like, no, I would like to wear lazy clothes. And yeah. But I would say it's true. You have the option to.
Yeah.
And if you want to.
And, again, there are days where I do.
Yeah.
I just don't every day.
Yeah. If you wanted to every day, you can.
You know, that's person to person.
Person to person, yeah.
And depending on, I mean, if you have client meetings, you're probably not going to be.
Well, yeah. Like I said, working in the field, doing client meetings, yeah, you're going to look presentable. But, I mean, if you got to do a bunch of editing, like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
T-shirt and shorts.
So the next one, as a freelancer, you can focus entirely on what you want to do. And what that one means specifically is the job that you want to do.
Yeah, that seems like 100% truth.
I feel like, well... Okay, but you also have to be, like, you can't focus solely on photography unless you outsource everything else. But you also have to focus on your marketing, your social media, your accounting.
Okay, that makes sense. I get what you're saying.
I think that's where people get.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you still get to focus all of your energy on it. But that's, like those little things you mentioned, it's all a part of it. That's all a part of every freelancer.
Yeah. And every small business for the most part.
You have to.
Until you get big enough to outsource.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to be a jack of all trades at first.
Okay. Yeah. I can agree with you there. So.
And I don't know if there's a lot of people who don't think that you have to be a jack of all trades. I mean, I guess if you're, even if you're consulting, you still have to do a lot of marketing and sales and stuff. I mean.
Yeah.
So even if you are established, you're still going to end up doing some sort of something else. This is the 8th one. Starting a business is the best way to get rich.
Negative.
I would agree.
Agree with me or agree with the statement?
I agree with you.
Yeah, that's a big negatory there, Chief.
I mean, I think the best way to get rich would be to, like, work your way up the corporate ladder. That's the more like...
Oh, yeah. Go get a $10... Like, go work at QT.
You're not going to get rich working at QT. You'll make good money. You'll make a decent living.
Oh, you'll get rich.
No, I don't mean like 100K is rich. I mean like 500K is rich.
Like Logan Paul shit?
Yeah.
Okay, that's different. Okay.
Like rich, not like...
Oh, I thought like...
Damn, I wish I made 100K this year. No, like...
Oh, okay, well, that's rich for me right now.
Well, yeah, but... That's, I mean, I think for freelancers, especially making like 100K is totally doable still.
Oh, yeah.
But I think like starting your own business and expecting to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and this is small, this is more small business based too. Because freelancers kind of don't have as high of a ceiling, or they have a lower ceiling for how much they're going to make generally. Yeah,
that's true.
There's always outliers though. And that's the people who like get idolized are the outliers.
Yeah.
For every, you know, I just read the Netflix book. But for every Netflix founder, there's 100 Blockbuster co-founders who lost everything whenever Blockbuster shut down. That was not my best analogy, I'm gonna be real.
Wow.
But, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to start businesses and it just does not work out.
Yeah.
And we only really hear about the people who really make it big.
That's true.
Number 9, your business plan must be rock solid from the get-go.
I mean, I think that's accurate.
I would disagree, because I think very quickly your business plan changes.
I mean, I think you should have, I think you should have 100%.
You should have a business plan.
I think it should be extremely solid. Is it subject to change? Yes. But when you start, you should have a solid plan of what you're doing.
Yeah. Your business plan when you start 100% is never going to be the same business plan whenever you're middle of your career.
And I'm not saying that it's not.
So I think that's where you should put effort into the business plan. I don't think your focus should necessarily be on getting every single little detail right in your business plan.
I agree. But, should your
business plan... You should have a solid idea.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a 50-50 for me then.
Okay.
Because I think there's definitely... There's 6 months in, I feel like everybody kind of changes their business plan.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And I think that's the usual. And then some people spend so much time trying to get that business plan right, and they focus on it so much that they don't focus on actually like you have to start with something, but until you've actually started your business, you don't really know what's going to work and what's going to resonate with the market.
Yeah.
You can guess, and that's really what business plans are, is guessing, but you definitely have to pivot for just about everything with a business plan.
I definitely think that. But yeah, I mean, I think you should have a solid one from the beginning. Is it subject to change? 100%. That's just me.
That's just me. The last one that I have on this list.
Drum roll, please.
Is guard your idea or someone might steal it. So this is more so going for like small business owners, less than freelancers. But you hear a lot of people whenever they first get like, they're like, oh, I got $1 million idea. Oh, cool. Let me hear it. No. You're going to steal it.
What's your take on it?
My take personally would be that they might like your idea. They might even be like, oh, I could totally do that. But most people, again, aren't motivated enough to actually follow through with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Netflix, again, because I read the book. He told everybody. He was telling his, like, you know, there was a bunch of founders right at the beginning. He tried to sell it at the beginning. Not sell it, but get funding for it and everything at the beginning.
Yeah.
And everybody thought that it wasn't going to work at all. That's literally the name of the book. That will never work. And that's what he heard a lot. And that's what most founders hear during their businesses. That will never work.
Yeah, I mean...
So I think it's a matter of just like being motivated and following through with it less than the idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I lost my train of thought, what I was going to say. But yeah, I think... I don't think necessarily... Or okay, never mind. I remember what I was going to say. You're never... the only one with that idea, I feel. I mean, I guarantee while the people who were doing Netflix, like, I mean, I haven't read the book that you read, but they couldn't have been the only one doing with that idea.
They were the only one working on it at the time. But once it started to get off, there was a ton of people who tried to hop on too.
Yeah, I mean...
Which I think is true for most ideas.
Yeah, there's... I mean, with Netflix, there's Hulu, there's...
Like, Blockbuster tried to make the Netflix, you know, rival.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Redbox. So the guy who founded Redbox was actually he was a part of Netflix at the beginning. Netflix paid for him and the co-founder to go work on this special project, which was boxes in person. Netflix themselves, who developed the whole thing, decided to pass on the idea, and he took off with it and made it his own. So it wasn't even his idea, but he was willing to like put the money and effort into it and the passion into that project, and it took off.
Yeah.
I think more so than your idea, the biggest thing is your passion. And I don't think anybody can steal your passion for your idea.
I'll agree.
They might try to make your idea, but if they're not as passionate, I think it'll eventually fall apart.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. Have you seen the movie The Founder?
The Founder. That's Ray Kroc.
Yes. It's about Ray Kroc.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
I would recommend it.
I want to.
It's a really good movie. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, if you know anything about Ray Kroc, or if you don't know who he is, I'll inform you now. Ray Kroc is essentially the air quotes founder of McDonald's, because he found it. He came upon the McDonald brothers and they had $1 million idea: burgers when they're made right in front of you. And you pre-make your burger, so whenever people come up and they want them, they're ready for you. Stuff like that. And he kind of found the idea, stole it, and made it his. And at the end of the day, he became the president of McDonald's. And I'm not going to give you any more information because you need to see
the movie. But did they sell it to him?
I'm not going to spoil the movie.
Well, that drastically changes how this fits into the conversation, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume the fact that he used their name means they probably sold it.
They didn't.
They didn't.
It's hard for me to tell you what happened without seeing it, because Ray Kroc is a thief, and that's all I'll say. Watch the movie.
Okay.
But it comes down to the aspect of like,
if they would have gone head to head though, and actually tried to build a bigger business, I don't know if it would have.
There's so much
I gotta watch the movie.
There's so much I want to say.
You brought this up and then you don't want to tell the rest of the story, so that kind of makes
I don't
want to
spoil the movie, because it's a really good movie and I know you would enjoy it.
Okay.
But it comes down to the thing, like, should you copyright? If the McDonald's brothers would have, it would have saved their ass.
Okay.
So like, it's kind of one of those things that's like, should you patent your $1 million idea? Yeah, I think so. Are people going to steal it? Probably not. But to say that it's never happened.
I didn't say that it never happened.
I know. I know you didn't. But I think you should.
I mean,
you I think you can.
I don't think you should blindly tell everybody about your ideas.
Agreed.
But I do think that you shouldn't be completely like all of these like Silicon Valley companies who won't even discuss anything with you without a NDA.
Yeah.
Like, they won't even send you an email until you sign an NDA. That seems a little over the top.
Oh yeah, I definitely think that.
And there are probably, in Silicon Valley, there are probably some cutthroat people who are just trying to steal ideas.
Oh, I guarantee there are.
But I think for the average person, the focus should be on developing your idea and finding people who can help you develop that idea.
Yeah.
And if they steal it, then that's just dumb. Like, that's just bad luck.
Yeah.
You just got unlucky. But I think that has less to do with whether or not they tell people and more to do with, being unlucky.
Yeah.
And just not doing it as well or something else.
Sure. Yeah.
Because like McDonald's, like fast food hamburger restaurants. There's McDonald's, Wendy's, Arby's. I mean, all these places.
But
Burger King.
Yeah.
They're the same fucking thing.
I mean, yeah.
So that was my last myth. I thought this was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this.
What you're saying is you just need to find topics that your opinions are different than mine. So we'll talk to them and we'll be more.
Well, dynamic. I just mean in general, just like. Like talking about the myths anyway, because we agreed on a lot of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably like 7 out of them we agreed on.
Yeah, that's true.
I think small businesses, freelancers, anybody who's like other, you know, the others in air quotes, is they kind of get looked at the wrong way. They kind of get, you know, there's a lot of myths out there. They think they're not, you know, there's a lot of false information about it too.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was fun to like clear the air and kind of say what we had to say.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
With that being said, you can follow us on Instagram at CreatorCastPod. You can follow us on Facebook. Again, that's facebook.com/CreatorCastPod. And then you can also follow me at I am Chris Reisner.
Yeah, I'm at Cody.Briner.
And we will see you guys next week.
Yep.
Oh, wait, real quick. Last thing. We are planning on having a bunch of guests on in the near future.
Yes.
We are working on getting some people on. If you're interested, creatorcast@avahidesign.com. Send me an email. We'll definitely set something up.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.